message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
This is the word of the Lord. So we honor it. We honor the word of God. Make peace with everybody. The Bible says to follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. Almighty God, suffering. Can you see that? That he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. This was not what a man of God was supposed to be saying. A man of God is supposed to speak faith. A man of God is supposed to command, is to speak positive all the time. But this was God himself saying, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be in trouble, and I will be killed. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, God, for back to sender. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. See, he was a man of, he was positive. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Or you are not mindful seeking the kingdom of God, but you are seeking the things of the world. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Now this same scripture is also in Mark, I think it's chapter 8, Mark, and then it's also in Luke chapter 9, or the other way, the same. I wanted to read all, but it's not necessary. So you can go home and research it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Matthew chapter 6, where we read last week. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Praise the Lord. And you may be seated. Thank you. May God speak to us this morning. If you notice, we've read this Matthew chapter 6 three times since the beginning of this year. So it's something God really wants you to hear. Now, the last 2 weeks, we have been setting the stage for the year, setting the stage for how we should live this year and how we should conduct ourselves as Christians. The first Sunday, we talked about set your minds on things above. Do you remember that? We admonished you from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 14. And in verse 2, it says, set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. You remember that? If you set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth, then you will please God. Now, that was the day we learned that to set means to put into a stable and a fixed position, to secure, to be immovable into a specific state. It was the day we had the brother stand here. Do you remember that day? And if you remember that brother, especially the one in the first service, he was really an actor. He stood there with his gaze. No matter what I said and did, his head was here. And that is how the Christian must be, that your mind is like that man fixed in heaven, not minding the things of the world. And that if you're going to do anything from the world, it must be because you heard from God. So you are hearing, you're acting as you are hearing from heaven. That was the week we looked at Abraham, that although he was already in the promised land, he refused to settle in the promised land. He lived in tents because he was looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. So I remember that day, I said, what did Abraham see that made him live the way he did? was only because he had a relationship with God and all of that. Now, last Sunday, we looked at seek first God's kingdom. And that was when we saw God say to us, not to worry about anything. Like Uncle Boss began to say in the morning, don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about what to eat. Don't worry about what to drink. Don't worry about where to live. Don't worry about investments. Don't worry about what will happen to your children. That's what God is saying. You say, Pastor, but if I don't worry, what will I do? If you don't worry, you will please God. If you don't worry, he will take care of you. So you seek first the kingdom of God, and these other things, all that you need, will be added to you. I can't tell you the things God is adding to my life. I can't even begin to speak to you about them. It will shock you. And by the grace of God, I will have the liberty to share some of these things. Just as you are in church minding your business, things will be happening to you. As you are serving God, things will be happening to you. God will... God help me to say this at the end, because I need to make a comment about this scripture, because I read today at the end of my message today. We said last week that you cannot seek the things of the earth and also seek the kingdom of God. The two of them are at enmity with one another. If you love God, you don't love the world. If you love the world, you don't love God. There is no two way about it. But here, no in between. You are either loving God or you are loving the world. And if you love God, it will show by the decisions you are making and the how you are spending your time and your money. If you love the world, you hate God. If you love God, you hate the world. But if you love God and seek his kingdom, all the things, the clothes, the food, the drinks you need will be added to you. Today, we are going to be looking at something I have not heard preached in a long time, but it was what we grew up with as Christians. And it is what is holding me and some of the old Christians till date. I am preaching today on the call to discipleship. On the call to discipleship, not the call to DTS. Because they are very two different things. The call, a call to discipleship. Now, when Jesus was about to leave the earth, do you remember he spoke to his disciples? He says to them, go into all the world and do what? And preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. He didn't say get the people born again. He said make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything that I've taught you. God's plan is that all of us seated here this morning will be his disciples, not born again people. Can I give you a typical example of disciples, a negative disciple, example of disciples? ISIS. ISIS are they are disciples. Radically, that's how we are supposed to live as Christians, not killing anybody, but being militant about what we believe in Jesus Christ. And being willing to die for it if need be. That's discipleship. If you want to, the simple definition of a disciple is ISIS, only that they are doing it in a negative way. ISIS and Boko Haram. If you notice, Boko Haram have forsaken the world. They have left their dwellings. They have moved to a place because they have a mission. They have a message. They have an agenda. They have a purpose. And they have left the world behind them. Amen? Is that true? They have left the world and they have entered to do the bidding of their master. The devil, of course. So, if we want to please God, we are going to have to move to that level of being a disciple. A disciple is a learner who adheres to the teaching of his master and imitates his master. He accepts the doctrine. And he also accepts the responsibility to assist the master to spread that doctrine. So you are a disciple when you believe the doctrine. You believe that I believe in it so much, I'm willing to take it to somebody. And I don't care if they reject me or don't listen to me, but I'm going to tell them this message because I believe in it. That's a disciple. A disciple of Jesus Christ, therefore, learns about Jesus, accepts and adheres to the teachings and the doctrines of Jesus. He copies the lifestyle of Jesus Christ and imitates him. He copies the lifestyle of Jesus Christ and imitates him. And he goes out to spread what he believes. To spread what he believes. He believes it so much, he is willing to tell somebody else. I believe that God is calling us this year. and calling Christians all over the world to be his disciples. Somebody said to me, Pastor, you have to preach on grace this year. I said, no, I'm going to preach on what God tells me to preach. I'm going to preach on what God... You look at grace in the Bible, there are salutations, there are this, there are that. Jesus did not spend the whole time preaching on grace. You look at the Sermon on the Mount, it's different things. Christianity is different things. I have to teach the whole counsel of God. Grace is there. But I believe that every disciple of Jesus Christ, every Christian must be a disciple of Jesus. That I must preach. So this year, a call to disciple to this congregation will mean that some of you will have to go to DTS so you learn about Jesus and learn about the doctrines of Jesus and learn about God. And then some of you will move, like we told leaders, you will move from being leaders to consolidation class where you learn the doctrines of Jesus Christ. And some of you will need to be in the care group. You need to make a movement. If this year you are still where you are not doing it well. But to be a disciple, you have to move from where you don't know to where you know and you believe and you act. You know, you believe, and you act. I want you to know that being a Christian is much more than coming here and having an altar call. And then going back to live the same way you... So people will have answer an altar call and then they go back to the boyfriend's house. They go back and continue to have sex with the boyfriend. They go back and continue to lie. You go back and continue to do business as usual. If you are truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, there is a 160 degrees. You were facing this way when you get born again and you become a disciple, you turn this way. You don't get born again and turn 360 degrees. You come back facing the same way you were. So it's more than just answering the altar call. To be a disciple is to come to the end of one life. I believe that there are two levels of inferior life in this life. The unbelieving life is inferior. This life we are living, even in Christ, is superior to a level, but there is a more superior one, which is the life we are going to live in heaven. But to be a disciple, you come to the end of that inferior life of sin, you accept Jesus Christ, and then you take upon you the life to please God and to be like Jesus Christ. You leave sin and self behind and you become desirous of Christ and his righteousness. A call to discipleship is a call to follow after your master like the sheep follow the shepherd. Have you seen the Fulani men and the cows? The Fulani man would be like this. But if anywhere he goes, the sheep just follow him. The goats, the cows, they just follow him. If he stops, they stop. That is the life of a disciple. That you follow your master. You follow him anywhere you go. Like the sheep follow the shepherd. Like the servant follow the master. If you go to a good master-servant relationship, the servant does not have a mouth. Whatever the master says is what the servant does, true or false. Not in these days when servants are talking back at masters and stealing from them. No. In a real servant-master relationship, the servant is totally in submission to the master. And he follows, a disciple will follow like a soldier follow his captain. Captain say, calls you. Yakubu say, yes sir. Go and do the... Before you go to the gate and get... Yes, sir! He didn't hear everything. He just had gate. So when he goes to the gate, he is going to stop and say, what did he say? I think he meant it. If he goes and sees any abnormality, he fixes it. And then he comes and says, mission accomplished, sir! And he says, sergeant, yes, sir! He said, go to the bedroom. Yes, sir! And then he goes to the bedroom. What is happening? And you know what? That's how angels hearken to the voice of God. Before God finishes the thing, angels are gone. Angels are gone. It's not these days God will be speaking, and you are there just doing. No. That's the life of a disciple. The disciple aims to walk like Jesus. He aims to be led by the Spirit of God, like Jesus was led by the Spirit. He treads the feet of Jesus. He treads in his steps. He conducts himself like Jesus conducted himself. And wherever Jesus goes, wherever Jesus leads him, he goes. In those days when we got saved, we only wanted to know what God's will was. We didn't care. In fact, it was like we were crazy. And you know what? Everything was okay then. This is when they say something, disciples will argue, disciples will force, come to church, disciples will say, Pastor, make it just they talk and they come. Can you imagine a captain says to his battalion, you shall be here on Friday at 6 o'clock. What do they say? You shall be at care group Thursday, 6 o'clock. And what will happen? God is so manna. This one, we sing. Nothing happens. A disciple of Jesus Christ has one thing on his mind. To fully please God. And to bring the glory of God upon the earth. And a disciple of God, Jesus Christ, has one other desire. Is to meet with his master in heaven. Nothing in between. Please God, bring the glory of God and go and meet God. A disciple of Jesus Christ doesn't have anything about him. Me. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to. No. Captain said, Sergeant, yes, sir. Tomorrow, he salutes. Don't say, but you know, they will slap. You will be, they will lock you up. You will regret the day you were born. The Bible says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Jesus Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his. So I want you to know this morning that discipleship is a deliberate decision. It's a deliberate decision that you make by yourself. Nobody can cajole you. The reason why we have these floppy disciples is because we are begging you to go to DTS. We are begging you to follow Jesus Christ. But when you become a disciple indeed, nobody will beg you to do anything. Mm-mm. When you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, nobody tells you what to do or when to do it. Nobody tells you to come to church. Nobody tells you to pray. Nobody tells you to read your Bible. Nobody begs you or asks you to give your tithe or first fruits. Nobody tells you to walk in love. You just know that that is what you ought to do. True disciples are self-motivated. True disciples are always striving to do more. If you meet disciples of Jesus Christ, they can give their whole salary, they will say it's not enough. They can pray 5 hours, they will say, I'm not praying enough. Whatever a true disciple of Jesus Christ does, he doesn't feel like he's doing enough. But our present day disciples, I've given my tithe. What are they asking again? No, I beg. I don't go care group, it's enough. No, I beg. I didn't come here to do church. I came here to make a life. Those of you who say that you came here to make an inferior life. Because anything on this sphere, on this atmosphere, on this earth is inferior. I want you to begin to see that life, anything you are doing in this life is inferior. Unless you are doing it for God, it's inferior. True disciples are always striving. If you have to be begged, cajoled, bribed, bribed. Do you know we have to bribe some care group leaders or some leaders to do their work? You have to give them gifts. You have to do this. You have to say this. You have to be pampered. No, if you have to do that, you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. No. Some Boko Haram people, the last instruction they received was 3 or 4 years ago. They are still working on it till today. They have not had any other thing. They are working on the last command. Can I tell you something here? This morning, that a lot of us are not disciples. Some people have finished DTS, they are not disciples. Some people are members, they have done membership, you are still not disciples. There are care group members that leaders that are not disciples of Jesus Christ. A care group leader that will leave his care group and show up at 7:30, 8:30, you are not a disciple of Jesus. A care group leader that will take up and go and not tell anybody and the people, you are not a disciple of Jesus. You are still worldly. A worshiper that just goes, whether they are singing or it doesn't bother you, you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. A make or whatever is, you just go when you want, you up and go, a deacon, you are not a disciple. So you can be even a pastor or a deacon and not be a disciple. I'm not kidding. Then Peter, we are following Jesus now. They had followed him up and down. And Jesus is telling them, this is what God has told me to do. I'm going to Jerusalem. This and this is going to happen to me in December. Peter called him aside. Peter, his strong disciple, and said to him, don't say that. Please, that was a mistake. Take that back. Because you are going to rule in the world. You came here for, don't be speaking negative like that. Pastor Sarah, what kind of messages are you preaching like this? In the other churches, they are talking about prosperity, how God is going to bless us. Pastor, keep quiet, please. You are going to drive the church members away. Jesus says, shut up, you are an offense to me. You are an offense to me. Told Peter, shut up, you are an offense to me. Say, you do not mind the things of God, but the things of the world. You just want the world to say, you are correct. Your church, you dress well. Your church, in our church, we do this. No, it is not the dressing or the, it is when it comes down, when you divide, when the tire meets the road, are you truly a disciple of Jesus Christ? He says, there are certain things as a disciple of Jesus Christ this year you will say, get behind me. You will tell that thing you are an offense to me. You will tell that person you are an offense to me. You will tell that job you are an offense to me. You will tell that business you are an offense to me. Anything that stops you from giving God 100% is an offense. So after Jesus rebuked him, he said, listen, this is who a disciple is. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What does it mean to deny yourself? To deny yourself is from a Greek word, apameomai, apareomai. It means to completely disown yourself. I like this. As I was studying, I was amazed. To deny yourself means to completely disown yourself. Is to utterly separate yourself from yourself. Is to separate yourself from yourself. It means to disown yourself means like what Antika Hit says one time. She said, I tell myself off. You know, in yourself, you ought to be having conversations. Where your body say you can't go to church today, you say, get up. He said, this woman of excellence work is too tiring. Your body says, I can't go today. You will tell yourself, get up, shut up. You tell yourself, I'm in control. You are not in control. So you tell yourself, although you are following me, I can disown you anytime. Let's have sex. You tell your body, shut up. And this body must say, yes, ma'am. So you disconnect yourself from yourself. That is discipleship. Because if you keep following yourself, this yourself will lead you to hell. I can't forgive him. You know, you tell yourself, shut up. I disown that voice. Keep quiet. You are not you are an offense to me. You ought to tell your body off. Oh, you know, I slept at 4, at 2 o'clock. I can't do my devotion. You say, shut up. I disown you. That's discipleship. I grew up in a brand of Christianity that said to me, you don't give your body what you want, it wants. You tell it what it wants. You dictate where it goes. You tell it what it eats. You tell it what to do. You can't sit down, your bum bum is doing that, this, and you say, hey, is that what you want? Oh yeah, you begin to look for like a dog. come, my bum bum is doing. No, you tell it, shut up. I dissociate myself from you. You are an offense to me right now. In the name of Jesus, get out. It's a demon. Say, shrew. It will keep quiet. Terrible. Tell it bye-bye. Nonsense. To disown yourself is, it means to tell yourself, nope, you are not going there. You are not doing that. You are not eating that. You are not drinking that. I'm not going that route. He said, don't forgive him. Fight. She's coming now. If she tells you anything, tell her. You say, no, I disown you. I dissociate myself from you. You are not a part of me right now. You are an offense to me. And you do not want the things of God, but the things of men. Therefore, because right now you want the things of men, no. You are not a part of me. You need to be ruthless with this body, yo. Or else, see, this body will perish on earth. And then it will set you up for Wahala in the future. Because it is not going with you to the whatever, it wants to spoil your matter. It is not going, this body will, it will be changed. And like the devil, it will try to confuse you and set you up for failure. So you ought to disown this, your body. Say, much as you, I carry you around. No, be so, no be. Auntie Reggie teaches me a lot of words. Tell your body we have a relationship of yam and oil. Do you know the relationship between yam and oil? If you put yam in oil, you open it, the yam is still laughing inside. You only rubbed my outside, you didn't touch me on the inside. To deny yourself is to walk on the straight and narrow. It is not to admire or excuse or indulge yourself or to be impressed by yourself. To deny yourself means you will not lean on your understanding. It means you will not be your own end. Listen to me, you will not be your own end. Everything is about you. Kwame, everything that starts must end with you. Every morning must end with you. Everything, every discussion must end with you. Every money, everything there is about you. That you are living your life and you are your own end. That's terrible. To deny yourself, say, no, this is not about you, it's about God. God is my end. God is the end. That is what it means to deny yourself. To deny yourself is to serve the interest of Christ, not your own interest. It is not to seek your own things, but the things of God. To deny yourself is to benefit other brethren. To deny yourself is to deny the natural, sinful, rebellious, and unredeemed self. By a son, call me, except to displease God. Dissociate yourself from that. Anything in you that does not want to come to church, anything in you that does not want to forgive, anything in you that does not want to be kind, anything in you that does not want to obey God, dissociate from that thing. Don't love your body to where it leads you to hell. This was Jesus speaking, though. He said, if you desire to come after me, deny yourself. Refuse. Haputai yourself. Tell self, go. Haputai self. She? Leave self. That is what, in Igbo, that is what it means. Clap for me. That was good Igbo right there. Haputai self. Haputai self. To deny yourself is to deny the appetites of the body for the benefit of the soul. I want you to always remember that your soul is more important than your body. The life to come is more important than the life there is now. There is a quote I saw in one of the commentaries. Let me say it now. Because I don't know. It says, if we see things as they will appear, then we will see them as they should be seen now. If you see things as they would appear, then it will help you to see them now as they should be seen. But if you are seeing things just as they are now and you have no picture, nothing you are balancing it against, you will be lost. If any man will desire to come after me, since you became a disciple of Jesus Christ, what have you denied yourself? What have you given up? What have you sacrificed? What have you told this body it can't do? You are still sleeping around. You are still watching blue films. You are still not coming to church. You are still beating your wife. You are still having homosexual and lesbianist relationships. There is nothing you have denied. So how are you a disciple? You think that ISIS care about what is going on in life? Except they are so demonic. They just bring girls there and just be. But they have one mission. Everything they are doing is to help them to fulfill that mission. He said, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. To take up your cross simply means to be willing to pay any price for the sake of Christ. We don't preach those kinds of messages anymore. Are you willing to pay any price? Or that is discipleship. To pay anything for the sake of Christ. It is the willingness to endure shame, embarrassment, reproach, rejection, persecution, and even death for the sake of Christ and for his kingdom. I want you to know that the cross is not just a fashionable thing we hang on our necks. The cross of Jesus Christ signifies suffering. So when you wear this cross, it should be saying, I'm willing to suffer for Jesus. I'm willing to go through anything for Jesus. I'm willing to go through, if it comes to. We were trained, Auntie Regina, you remember, we were trained to be ready to die for Jesus if there was a need. Every day in my life, you won't believe it, I practice. What if Boko Haram comes and says, deny Jesus? I practice it by myself. What if somebody, they bring a knife now and say, deny Jesus? I practice. Some of you say, with Jesus, I beg, oh, Allah wa kubur mara shaydan. You will start to quote the Arabic you don't know. You say, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadu. They say, no, you are not saying it well. And then you say, rebo shah. Then you say, oh, no. I meant to say, Muhammadu suwallahi wa sallam or whatever. But in your mind somewhere, you must be practicing to stand for Jesus, come what may. What if you are stopped right now and they say, Jesus or your life, what will you say? No, you won't. Keep quiet. I wasn't even talking to you. I was just preaching. Don't answer me. You are saying Jesus. You don't come for prayer meeting. Is it Jesus you will say? Magana Mbanza. Do they know you in care group? No. You say Jesus. You can't. That is why you have to keep coming to church, because in church we keep teaching you what to do, teaching you how to stand, so that you can resist and withstand the devil. The cross was an instrument of execution reserved for Rome's worst enemies. It was a symbol of torture and death that waited those who dared to raise their hand against Roman authority. When the disciples and the crowd heard Jesus talking about the cross, they knew exactly what he was talking about. They were not imagining it. Because in the time of Jesus alone, over 30,000 people were crucified. So the disciples knew it. So when you heard the cross, when Jesus told them, deny himself, take up your cross, immediately they saw the picture of a young man or a man on the road to death. And he was carrying the beam on which he himself was going to be hung. They saw that picture. Meaning that as a Christian, to be a disciple means that you embark on a journey on the road to death. You carry your cross ready to die. First, you die to pride. You die to self. You die to the world. And so when Jesus was telling them, deny yourself, they knew exactly what he was talking about. He was not talking about a romantic gold cross, purple cross, wonderful. No, he was talking about, I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to carry my cross. I'm willing to die on this Christianity. I die to anger. I die to anything that is not worthy of Christ. I'm willing to die to self. I die to the world. And I live to Christ. So they understood it. Let him carry his cross. A man who took up his cross began his death march, carrying the very beam on which he will hang. For the disciple of Jesus Christ, to take up your cross is for you to be willing to start on a death march to self, to pride, death to this inferior life, death to this world and the things of men. It is a willingness to be in service for Christ. It's to suffer the indignities of pain even unto death. Now, not all the apostles died or were martyrs. But all of them were ready and willing to die. All of them. Oh, not one of them. All of them were willing to die for Christ. Because they saw Jesus die for them. And they had been taught. They knew what real discipleship was. These days, not all of us will be called to die. But all of us must be ready and willing to die if need be. We must so believe and love this Jesus Christ. We must so believe in this heaven that we are willing to give up anything for it. And we start from the least troublesome. Come to church on Sunday. Come to church on Tuesday. Come to church. Those are the small ones. We have not gone to where they are pointing a gun at you. Because a time will come, the Bible says, when the people of a person's house will become his own enemy. He said, I have not come to the world to give peace. I have come to set the father-in-law and the son-in-law at war. The time is coming. But if this footman Friday prayer meeting worries you, what will you do when they say, I'm going to kill your child if you don't denounce your faith? To make a confession of discipleship but refuse to accept hardship or persecution and reproach is to be joking. The call to discipleship is not a call to prosperity. I'm sorry to say, the call to discipleship is not a call to prosperity. It's a call to suffering. It's a call to be fruitful for God. It's a call to bear fruit. It's a call to live for God. In the way, along the way, you can be prosperous, but that is not the goal. Your mother-in-law is not your cross. Your sickness is not your cross. The trouble you are going through right now is not your cross. The cross is anything that you have to do in for the sake of Jesus Christ. That there are now some punishment in the office may be a cross because of Jesus Christ. Anything that qualifies to be that cross is something that is in because in challenge of Jesus Christ. So your mother-in-law cannot be your cross. People say carry your cross. No, if your mother-in-law is your, she's not your cross. You are just walking in unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and pride. Period. I'm not your cross. I'm not your cross. No human being is your cross. You are just refusing to walk in love and to obey God. Period. Let him deny himself and follow me. You can only follow Jesus after you have denied yourself, after taking up your cross. When you carry your cross, it means that you are forsaking everything and you are looking only unto Jesus. A true disciple is in submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Please put up for me 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. Please do that quickly. My time is gone. Let's read it together. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. So if you say you are a disciple of Jesus, you will walk like he walked. How did Jesus walk? Look at the life of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I walk around saying, God, I want to go around doing good, healing all that were oppressed. Wherever there's trouble, Father, let me bring peace. I want to just be a conduit. I want to be like Jesus. I want to lay my hands on the sick and let them recover. That is the prayer of a disciple, to walk just like he walked. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Quickly, Matthew 7 21. Not everyone, let's do it together. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he, the disciple, does the will of God. He obeys him 100%. Bagadama, come to church on Friday. Yes, sir. Go to church on Thursday. Yes, sir. Serve in church. Yes, sir. A disciple of Jesus does not hide in the crowd. Some of you came to Family Worship Center to take a break. You say, I used to serve God in those churches and blah, blah. I'm not doing that again anymore here. You are a backslider. You say, but Pastor, I still wait on the Lord. No, you are falling behind. If you're not serving God, you are backsliding. Some of you were big time Christians in some churches, say they offended you some there. So you came here and you're saying, no, I don't want anybody to know. So you've been here for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years doing nothing. You are not obeying God. He said, serve me. If you love me, you will serve me. If you serve me, you will obey me. John chapter 8, verse 31. Quickly. John 8, 31. Together, right? Let's read it. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. He says, let me read it. Let me not quote it wrongly. That's the last thing of the things Jesus said. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever desires to save this inferior life will lose the superior life. For what shall it profit a man if he gains his whole soul and loses his, gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange of his soul? See, and the end of the matter is in verse 27. For the Son of Man will come in his glory. Everything ends there. He's coming in his glory. Will you deny him? Will you not stop loving the world? Let me read some things here. You must term this present life inferior to the life to come. So don't invest in this life. Whatever a man gets in this world, if he loses his soul, it will do him no good. The winning of the world is the losing of the soul. The winning of the world is the losing of the soul. The more of the world you are gaining, the more of your soul you are losing. The more of the world you are gaining, the more of your soul you are losing. It is the love of the world and the eager pursuit of it that drown men into destruction and perdition, according to Paul to Timothy. Do not be ashamed of Christ. He says, if you are ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. So as the year runs out, demands will be placed on you this year. The demands of discipleship will be placed on you. There will be demands like forgive that person, and you have to. Make up with that person. You will hear a voice say, go and apologize to that person. If you want to be a disciple, you will go and apologize. Demands will be like, you are saving that money to buy a car. You will hear a voice say, give it to that couple for IVF. Or give it to the church. A lot of you don't like to hear that. Give it to the church. Your money is for God. And when the church needs it, give it to them. You will hear such voices. Some of you are hearing a voice right now saying, join DTS. You will hear voices like, be in leadership. You will hear a voice say, resign. He said, but the work is God will say, resign. Resign to what? I will tell you. You know why you are laughing? You know why I'm hearing that one? Because it doesn't happen anymore. God told Abraham, leave this and go there. Abraham stopped. Jesus made the disciples and said to them, come follow me. They left their nets and followed him. That's discipleship. It's not the one, no, God tells you to be a pastor. So you are there struggling. No, but you know my family. And see, it's the worry of the family, the worries of the cares of the world. But. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. This year, you are going to tell some friends, you are an offense to me. So, because they don't care, you can have sex. Any friend that tells you it's okay to have sex, they have become an offense to you. Anything that is against the word of God, it's against you. So I wanted to close by going back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I didn't do it justice to it last week. And I want to sum up everything now. Peter said, Jesus, we have left everything and followed you. What are we going to get? Okay, Pastor, I have denied myself. I've taken my cross. I've followed him. I'm not ashamed of him. I don't love the world. What do I get? Okay, I am seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What do I get? Jesus said, in this life, you will have all those things and persecution. But you are not seeking them. You seek his kingdom first and this thing will be added to you. Do you remember a man called Solomon in the Bible? You remember the day God came to him? He said, what do you want? Blank check. Ha! If it was some of you that day, really, God, is it really you? No, let us be sure, because my needs are many. For starters, I want a house in Maitama. I want 2 billion, 3 billion in my account. I want a car. I want this. I want you to endow all my children. I want the school fees of them paid. I want this and that. I want tons of money. And then I want the grace to do your will. When God came to Solomon that day, clear-minded, without thinking, he said, Father, give me wisdom to rule this your people because I'm a small boy. I don't know what to do. It shocked God. That was seeking the kingdom of God. He went right to the heart of God because the heart of God is people. Solomon said, give me wisdom. God said, really? I will not only give you wisdom. What did God give Solomon? Riches and wealth. Is to buttress that fact that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these other things will be added to you. It's an addition. It's an addition. I have been seeking God all my life and I've never lacked anything. I wanted to tell you Solomon's story and to end up with this story of Pastor Ina and I. When we were coming back from America, we were so poor. We didn't have money, but we needed so many things. We knew we were coming to start a church. Pastor Ina knew he was going to come and start a church. And we needed these things. Now, I've told you the story. Our rent that time was $495 a month. Pastor Ina's salary was $500 a month. What is the change? How much was our tithe? $50, isn't it? And what we did first, because we sought first the kingdom of God, we removed that $50 and offering. So we had a crisis of rent. I remember it was too much on my head one day. I went and told one woman. She decided to be giving us $100 every month. So that cushioned that for us to pay the rent, because we could not pay our tithes and offerings. We lived like that. We were always housing somebody in our apartment. We were always helping somebody. There was never a time we were in our apartment. Even if it was one bedroom, there was an extra person staying with us. You deny yourself now. That's discipleship. We lived like that. And then we went to church. We gave tithes. We get offerings. Always. We were always in church. Then it came time to go home. We needed musical equipment. We needed public address system. We needed air conditioners for our apartment, because they told us Abuja was very hot. We needed things for the house. I think our need at that time must have been $10,000 or $20,000. And I used to worry. Where are we going to go find these things? And then I was reading the Bible that day. I came across this verse, Matthew. And your heavenly Father knows that you have need of those things. And I'll just say, Father, I thank you because you know. We prayed and kept doing what we were doing. One day, one lady called us, went and made a presentation to her. She gave us $3,000. He bought our public address system. I don't know how God did it, but by the time we were leaving America, we left with two containers. We left with two containers. We had all the ACs we needed. We had all the electrical appliances we needed. We had everything we needed for the church. Every drum, every stick, every whatever we had. And then the church did a clothing closet, whatever. They gathered things for us to bring to people. We brought clothes and stuff to give people away. From that day to today, we have not lacked for anything. Except that I keep showing up in church and showing up in church and showing up in church. I just show up. I stand here. Somebody gives me an envelope. I go home. I open this 1-2 million. I am at home. I sit here after service. Somebody gives me an envelope. It's 1 million. I sit here in church. One day, I took the last $100 bill in my hand. Somebody was in need. I gave it in their hand. As I shook the next person, they left an envelope in my hand. It has $600. I'm telling you that, what can you give God that he doesn't have? Stand up, let's go home. If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Deny yourself that right to be right. Deny yourself the right to be right. Be wrong for once. The world will not end. You will just be a happier person. Deny yourself that luxury. Do something different this year. Follow God this year. Obey God this year. Serve God this year. Take up your cross. Let them not share the thing in the office with you. You don't need it. I told myself long ago, if God does not give it to me, I don't want it. If it has to be through sin, burn us all. If I have to compromise my standard to get that thing, to hell with it. You have to sleep with somebody for them to promote you. Is it promotion you've been eating since you were a child that brought you to this where you are? Is it promotion you've been eating? Say, Pastor, I need to work hard this year because I need to break through. The Bible says there is that thing. It is not he who runs or toils. It is of God that shows mercy. Come to church, let God show mercy on you. My prayer for each and every one of you is that you will go home today determined to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Deny yourself this year. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Be a good soldier. I wish I knew that song. La 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 la. It pays to serve Jesus. What? Contentment in serving the Lord, I'll be more. I'll be healthy, beats me whatever the cause. I'll be a good soldier, I'll die at my post. Can they find that song in the computer? You don't have it. It's in the computer. Or is it a Nigerian song? Is it a Nigerian song? Is it a Oyibo song? It's in the computer. We will sing it in second service. Get the tape. Make a decision. Discipleship is a decision. Make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, whatever the cost, and be a good soldier. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. That's all. That's all.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.